Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 12. And we're going to expound our best, verses 28 through 44, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for the saints that pressed out. And Lord, we ask now, God, by faith, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Woe to the Religious Teachers. Woe. As we've been reading throughout this chapter thus far, Jesus was always finding himself in ways that are unimaginable. There are religious teachers such as scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, and they all had one thing in common. They were filled with anger and animosity and jealousy. Why? Because they couldn't do the things that Jesus was doing during this time. He was raising the dead. He fed 5,000 on the hill. He would cause the blind to see, the lame to walk, the dumb to speak. And it was religion that could not perform that. But it was the power of God, the anointing of God, and the will of God that was upon the Lord Jesus Christ that did all these miraculous things. And because these religious teachers couldn't do those things, they thought that he had come to overthrow them and to be the king of Israel. Little did they know that Jesus did not come as a king during this time. He came as a servant to serve you and I, to pave the way where religion could not save a person, but a relationship with the Most High God through Jesus Christ. He had to come to the cross to shed his blood for you and I. No one understood it at this time, but let's see how this story unfolds in Mark chapter 12, starting now with verse 28. And it reads, "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, and asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Then Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, was basically patting him on the back. Well done, teacher. You have spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there is no other but he. The thing is they were trying to entrap the Lord because there were many, many instances where God would reveal through Christ Jesus that he was God in the flesh. Verse 33, and to love him with all your heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all who hold burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dared to question him. We go to verse 35. Then Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how is it that the scribes say that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, David himself calls him Lord. How is he then his son? Look how, man, I'm telling you, Jesus, the wisdom, the power, the knowledge that he had would always refute these scribes and Pharisees and these people that are religious. And the common people heard him gladly. Verse 38, then he said to them in his teaching, beware. Look at this. Jesus knew exactly. He knows the heart of man. So what did he say? He said, beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feast. Did you know that there are Christian pastors, I'm not going to mention their name, you got to pay $400 to $500 when he goes speak somewhere just to sit close to him. Think about that for a moment. The best seats in the synagogues and the best places and feasts who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, these will receive greater condemnation. Wow. I know that you and I do not want to be in the hands of an angry God. Can I get an amen? Now, Jesus sat opposite of the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. So God observes everything that we do. Can I get an amen? Everything. Your whole entire life is like under a microscope, and God sees it all. He sees the good, the bad, and the ugly. He sees when you're around people. He sees you when you're all by yourself. He sees it all. So now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. So there's folks, they'll put in all kinds in the plate. But guess what? That's just a fraction of the wealth that they have. To God, it's like, wow, just because you gave $1,000 and you got close to $1 million in your account, that's just like a drop out of the bucket. It's all show. It's all show. Look at this. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which makes a quadrons. You know what 2 mites is? It barely makes a penny. A penny. What can you buy with a penny today? Nothing, can you? Yes. So he called his disciples to himself and said, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in and out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Wow. What a dichotomy here. So let's break this down. Let's go to verse 28. Then one of the scribes came and having heard them, reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked, which is the first commandment of all? So saints, this discussion continued within the temple courts. Jesus and the disciples were surrounded by a crowd of people while various groups of religious leaders came and went and asked their questions. But they were there not for the right reasons. They were there for all the wrong reasons. And this time, however, a Pharisee brought a sincere question. So one of them asked a sincere question. And it was this, of all the commandments, which is the most important? So the reference to the commandments focus on a popular debate about the more important and less important of the hundreds of laws that the Jews had accumulated. They had so many laws, they couldn't keep them all. And Jesus said, if you break one, you broke them all. But they were trying to keep up all these laws. Let me ask, how many know how many seeds are in a pomegranate? How much? 613. And that's how many laws that they had. And they all had, were striving to keep them. But Jesus said, if you break just one of them, you broke them all. So they had a religious connotation. They had a religious mind. They didn't have a relationship with the Most High God. Basically, it was just ink on pages to them. The Pharisees had classified over 600 laws, spent much time discussing. They had 613 laws. And as a Pharisee himself, the man had in mind the debates over the relative importance of ritual, ethical, moral, ceremonial. Listen, last time I got, you know how you go to Israel and there's the Western Wall. We call it the Wailing Wall. But there's a place which has a big door at the end to the left of it. And you walk in and there's hundreds of rabbis in there. And it seems like they're all having an argument. They're all just wah, 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 you know. And I asked our tour guide one time, Ito, I go, why are they yelling at each other? He goes, they're not yelling. They're having a debate over the laws. I go, what? A debate over the laws? So who won? He goes, they fight every day. They have no relationship with God. It's amazing. It hasn't changed in 2,000 years. Let's move on. Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. So guess what Jesus was using? The Word. For he is the Word. He was the Word that became flesh. So Jesus had to point them back to their own scriptures that they should have known, right? Jesus quoted them from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, look at this. This is in the first five books of Moses in Deuteronomy. So Jesus was quoting back what Moses wrote down that came from God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Look at verse 7. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. So when you go to Israel, you see these rabbis with this little thing strapped to their head like this. Instead of having the Word of God birthed into their heart, they have it right here on their forehead, thinking that I'm close to God and have no relationship, none whatsoever. It was all religious. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So the commandment in the very beginning was you are to teach your children so that they would pass it on to their children and their children, and that it would pass on from generation to generation. By God's grace, we're here today because of the written word that was spoken thousands of years ago. And Jesus fulfilled. He didn't come to change the law. He came to what? Fulfill it. So saints, it's the major creed of Judaism that was recited twice daily in the morning and evening by devout Jews. The teachers of the law could debate all they wanted, but Jesus brought them back to the basics by giving new life to the often repeated words. So they knew it in their head, but they didn't have it here in their heart. This is why they always walked above the common people. They didn't realize they were given a blessing, the Word of God, but yet they used it for selfish gain. They wanted to make themselves look that they were more superior than the common people, than those that would attend the synagogue. But yet Jesus called them out. Listen, if you think Jesus was weak, think again. Oh, God is love. Jesus is love. Yeah. You know what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. He came that we wouldn't die and go to hell. That's why he came. We couldn't save ourselves. The law pointed us to the cross. The law said, you have sinned and you must pay now for your sin. This is why Jesus had to come, to deliver us from our sin, because we couldn't save ourselves. Can I get amen? Amen. Think again. Religion can't save you. Religion cannot save you. I don't care how many Hail Marys you say. I don't care how many Our Fathers you say. I don't care if you drive by a church and do this. You could do that all day. You can outgive someone and not even know Jesus. Wow. There's so many different ways. Listen, it's all about the issues of the heart. Where is your relationship with God? Jesus then answered the man's question by explaining what those words should mean in the daily lives of the people. Because they believed that there was one God as opposed to other religions, such as the Romans with the pantheon of gods, they ought to love the one true God with every part of their being. But they didn't. They were too religious. Their religious mind was lifted up in pride. And they thought that they were more superior than the common people. I've been to churches where you can't even shake the pastor's hand anymore. They escort them out through the back. Oh, you haven't been in one of them before, have you? Nothing's changed. A person's total being must be involved in loving God. Can I get amen? To love God in this way is to fulfill completely all the commandments regarding one's vertical relationship. Before you can have a horizontal man, let me tell you, this is why the cross is like this. You have to have this relationship first before you can have a relationship this way. And if this hasn't taken place, guess what? This will never take place. Because there'll be so many things that will fill your heart to find fault with other people. Wow. God had to deal with the issues of the heart. Let's go to verse 31. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So in addition to the law, there is a second and equally important law. This law focuses on horizontal relationships, our dealings with fellow human beings. A person cannot maintain a good vertical relationship with God or loving God without also caring for his neighbor or his friend. If you don't care about us and them and we and they, you're never going to have a true relationship with God either. It'll be a block. You know why? Because Jesus said, and it's mentioned also in the Old Testament, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Bible says he will not hear you. So if you're hating your brother, you're hating your sister, you're not doing what God has called you to do, God looks at anything that's not like him as sin. Look what Matthew wrote down and took it a little further. Look what Matthew said here. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. They're always gathering together, scheming up things to come against Jesus. Then one of them, a lawyer, well, watch out for attorneys. Watch out for those guys. You know what? You pay them to lie for you. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. For this is the second law." Jesus quoted, where did he quote that from? But as we go further in Matthew, look what he said here. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. So guess what? When the prophets and the law, when the law was written, then the prophets came, they would proclaim God. And Jesus said, the second commandment, see, there's only two commandments that hang all 613 laws. Number one, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And second, love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because these two, the whole, all the commandments hinge on these. So if you can't get both of them right, guess what? You're out of order. God says, I'm sorry, you're not rolling with me. You got your own agenda. You got your own show. Especially when people can walk right out of your life and not even say goodbye or thank you. They'll just walk out. Man, I'd hate to stand before God and I'm there naked before him. And the Bible says that the brightness of his being will be consumed by the glory. And if you're on the flip side of that, someone that cannot even get these two right, you're in for a whole lot of trouble. And guess what? I don't care what attorney you think you can hire. There's no attorney no more. You can't call your cousin and family and friends. You can't call help. There's no 911. You're right before a God that's consuming. The Bible says he's a consuming fire. You think your self-righteousness can get yourself out of a pickle? Think again. This is what Jesus said. Take it up with Jesus. Don't get mad at the messenger right now. I'm just the mailman giving you your mail tonight. So the word neighbor refers to fellow human beings in general. The love of a person has for himself or herself in the sense of looking out for oneself, caring about best interests, etc. And it should be continued, but it should also be directed toward others to care for them, to love them. Say, you know what? What's going on? Can I pray for you? Tonight, I've asked the church, pray for us that we would continue. I'm not going to come up with no gimmick. We're not going to have hot dog. What do you call it? What do you call those fundraisers? No. By praying and seeking God, he will put it on the hearts of people to do what's right. That's how it works. Without any games, shenanigans, trickery. God will do it all by himself. And the Ten Commandments and all the other Old Testament laws are summarized in these two. So you have the Ten Commandments, the 613 laws, all in these two. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. If you can manage to take care of these two, you're on your way. Praise God. But let me just go and we'll move on. In order for this to truly take place, you truly need to have an encounter with the living God. He has to change your heart on the inside. Being born again, filled with his spirit. Because then he will give you ears to hear and eyes to see. And then he'll download in you love, unspeakable joy that only comes from heaven. It don't come from an earthly realm. This right here, to operate like this, it comes from heaven. It don't come from an earthly means. Can I get amen? Let's move on. Verse 32. So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there is only no other but he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifice." Oh, good job, Rabbi. Good job. Saints, the man commended Jesus for his true and insightful answer. But there was a hidden agenda. The man realized that after all the Pharisees wrangling about the laws, the answer had been amazingly simple. The man reaffirmed the Shema. Who knows what the Shema is? It's found in Deuteronomy. Here's the Shema, Deuteronomy 4:35. "To you it was shown that you might know the Lord himself is God, and there is no other besides him." So Deuteronomy had that. It was found and written in Exodus. Exodus says, "So tomorrow," he said, "let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God." God was making it simple. All these other false gods are not God. All of them. Drive down El Cajon Boulevard and count how many false gods you see. They're in the windows. They're in restaurants. Oh, they're everywhere. New Age. That's right. And it's crept into even Christianity. Wow. Look what Isaiah says. "Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have I not, I the Lord, said that there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior? There is none beside me." Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that Jesus is enough? And that's all we need. Can I get amen? Jesus is the only one that can save. And praise God, he has saved us. Thank you, God. Verse 34, back in Mark chapter 12. "Now, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' But after that, no one dared question him." Jesus was pleased about the man's response and told him that you're not far from the kingdom of God. This man had caught the intent of God's law as it's so often stressed throughout the Old Testament, that true obedience comes from the heart. It's got to come from within. Listen, for those of you that are married, praise God for your singlehood, first of all. You know what? Because your relationship is with God. Can I get amen? And for those who come together as one, as husband and wife, God said, "What God puts together, let no man put asunder." So when we got together as believers, it's because he was already residing in us. And he has allowed us to come. And once we come together, we become one. One in Christ. Can I get amen? So being married, it's not being superior than someone that's single. And someone that's single is not superior than someone's married. No, this is the will of God. God, from the beginning of the foundation, he's the one that purposed this lovely, perfect will that we would walk in. Just catch this, saints, tonight. We are imperfect beings who are walking in the perfect will of God. How does that work? We're so imperfect, yet he has caused us to walk in his perfect will. Nothing is ever taken by coincidence or surprise. How many are so blessed to know that? So the questions ended, for no one dared to ask anymore, but this did not end the opposition. Kind of like what I heard today. I won't go in the political realm, but man, if you didn't catch any of that this morning, it's like, oh my, it was an oh my gosh moment. They were still relentless coming and trying
to show that there was collusion in a Russian conspiracy. Oh, it was like, oh my gosh, moment. Well, you know what? Nothing's changed 2,000 years later. But 2,000 years ago, they hated Jesus and they wanted to kill him. Look at verse 35. Then Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? This was still Tuesday before his crucifixion. Remember, we're picking up in the book of Mark where Jesus had made his way into Jerusalem. And remember when he first arrived, we read this in a few chapters ago, that they were going, Hosanna, Hosanna. And they were worshiping him. But these are the same folks that 7 days later said what? Crucify him. From out of the mouth of praise came the mouth of cursing. That's how feeble-minded they were. That's how finicky they were. This was a complete exposure of the corrupt heart. This is why Jesus had to come and change our hearts from the inside out. Jesus had to come. And so it was still Tuesday, and it was the teaching in the temple, and the Pharisees expected the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, to come and set up his kingdom. Why? Because they were under the tyranny of Rome. But Jesus didn't come to get the Romans out of the way. Jesus came so that our hearts can be changed. Can I get an amen? And once our hearts are changed, then things can now start coming into order. But that whole scenario was out of order. You had conquerors, you had slaves. Their hearts were corrupt. They didn't realize Jesus came to bring order. Order in the human heart, because their heart was so distorted. That's why Paul had to write that we are born in sin, shapen in iniquity. It was a sinful heart that Jesus came to deliver us from. Jesus had to come. Can I get an amen? Verse 36, for David himself said, the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Saints, the Jews and the early Christians, they knew the Old Testament was inspired by God, bearing his authority in his teachings. Jesus quoted from the Word, from the book of Psalms. Look what he wrote here. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. This was written thousands of years before Jesus came on the scene. Are you catching this? Jesus used the word against them. He threw the word back on their lap and says, I need you guys to chew on this for a bit. But because they didn't have a relationship with God, all they thought that Jesus was an imposter, was a perpetrator of the word. But that's not the case. We all know that. Aren't you so blessed that we can look back to look at today? This was written for our understanding so that we wouldn't find ourselves in the same predicaments and traps of these religious people. Because they're still religious folks today. Can I get an amen? Still religious. You know, on Saturdays, me and Brother Angel are here, we're setting up. And all these religious monks, Brother Angel tells me, there's no power in those books. They're all religious books. I'm talking low because you know why. I said, you're right. There's no power in that. But there's power in this book. Can I get amen? Amen. There's power in that book. Thank you, God. There's mighty power in the Word of God. So the Messiah would be a human descendant of David. But he would also be God's divine son. That he sits at God's right hand means the Messiah will sit in the place of the highest honor and authority in God's coming kingdom. Did you know the Bible says that we will rule and reign with God? It's throughout the book of Revelation. Have you read that far? To know that we're going to be appointed positions? Or do you think that we're going to be up in heaven floating on clouds with a harp? Or strumming the harp? No. We're going to rule and reign with God. And God is going to bring everything into order. Praise God. And for 1,000 years, we will live on this earth with Christ as our King. And all the nations will come and worship the Lamb of God. And the Bible says that when Satan is removed from the bottomless pit, he will deceive the nations one more time. And that's when God is going to say, enough is enough. I'm throwing him in the lake of fire. And guess what? God's also going to wake up all the dead that are not in Christ. And they will stand before God. And they will be all tossed into the lake of fire. Whoa! Then God's going to change the whole earth. The heavens and the earth will pass away. And we will be living in the New Jerusalem. Read your Bible. That's what God says is going to take place. And if God wrote it, and if God sent it, so be it. Can I get amen? Who are we to refute it? Let's move on. Therefore, David himself calls him Lord. How is then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. So they heard this. But you have to remember, when Jesus was speaking to these folks, John wrote it down. They didn't see it because they didn't have eyes to see. They didn't have ears to hear. But look what it says in John 1:14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They didn't realize that the Messiah had come. And he was standing in their midst. And all they could do was wrangle with him. They didn't care if he raised the dead. They didn't care if he fed 5,000 on a hill. You know what they were worried of? That he would come and kick Herod off their throne and that he would rule them and take away all their religious liberty. But that's not how Jesus came. He came to set us free. For whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Let's move on to verse 38. And he said to them in his teaching, beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the best places and their feasts. And wow. In the book of Matthew, how many know that Jesus is a real, he was, still is a real man. And God at the same time. But he rebuked these Pharisees, these Sadducees. He rebuked the scribes. He rebuked all the religious order. And he told them truth. He looked in their eyes. He didn't run from them. He rebuked them all. Oh, where does that say that, Pastor Fee? It's in the Word. Because they appeared to be religious. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But they were there for one agenda. Was to deceive the people. To deceive the people. Taking all that they could. To heap on themselves wealth. And while the poor was begging, was in need. They couldn't come and fill the need. Because they were taking from them. So Jesus had to stand firm. And this is where you see in Scripture where he was not a wuss. To me, when I read this for the first time years ago, I said, man, this is a real man. When you have to speak truth to those who are walking in lies. Look what he said. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He called them hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves nor do allow those who are entering go in. Whoa. You know what? if you did a study on woe, when he says woe someone, these people will be in hell. He's already declared woe because I will see you there in torment. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows. They go in there, man, and they were not only taken from the poor, but these widows who had husbands that died, they would creep in their homes and take them into bed. Taking advantage of someone whose heart was torn because their loved one went on. He said, woe to you who devour a widow's house for a pretense. And, oh, let me just pray. And then all of a sudden, man, they're in the sack. Therefore, you will receive what? Greater condemnation. You know what that means in the Greek? They will be tormented in hell as they are condemned. Look at this. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. These are the words of Jesus speaking at these religious people. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Talking about their character. Look at this. He calls them fools and blind. Listen, all I know is this. Don't ever get rebuked by Jesus. Don't ever let him come to you in your thought life, in your heart, in a dream, and he comes to rebuke you. For which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. You know what he's saying? What you say you're going to do, you better do it. But if you tell people, yeah, I'll be there, I'll pray for you, and they never show up. You ever heard that? Yeah, I'll see you Sunday. Never show up. If you're going to tell someone, you better fulfill it. Can I get an amen? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. Man, look at this. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Be careful when it says, are you sure? Swear to God. Swear to God, man. Be careful for you. Watch out. People say, I swear to God. Or they go, oh, man, you fool. You ever heard that one? What's up, fool? Those are two things that should not come out of our mouth anymore. Can I get an amen? A lie and calling someone a fool and swearing by heaven. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of law, justice and mercy and faith. They didn't have mercy. They didn't have faith for the people. They took advantage of them. They come up with all kinds of pony shows and games and gimmicks. How can we get their money? These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Look at this. He called them blind guides who strain a gnat and swallow a camel. In other words, you know what that means? These poor little widows and these poor people, these beggars, they would take everything they had and they would swallow it down their throat like a camel going down. That's how God looks at them. Wow. Never think that Jesus was soft. He was never soft. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside are full of extortion and self-indulgence. What? So they look, man, what's up? Praise the Lord. Came in with Armani suits, man, and man, they came in with $200 shoes on. Praise the Lord. Riding around in a Mercedes, a Cadillac, living somewhere deep in East Lake in a mansion, and taking for these poor ones, robbing them from their welfare checks. It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear to be beautiful outward, but inside are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. They're just scheming up how they can get over on folks. Jesus called them out. Well, even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. What? My. How many are so blessed to know that God has delivered us from that wickedness of life? Huh? He has truly delivered us from this life. That was once us walking in the corruptness of our heart, deceiving folks. Come on, we used to run with the best of them. We was cooking it up at 3 a.m. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourself that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Remember, throughout the Old Testament, God would send a prophet, king, repent. And what would they do with the prophets? Throw them down into a pit. Some of them, they would boil in oil. Some of them, they fed to lions. Read the Book of Martyrs. Jesus said, Philip then, look at this, verse 32, Philip then the measure of your father's guilt, serpents, brought a viper, he called him a snake. Oh, I thought you said Jesus was about love, man. Man, well, where's the love, bro? You ever heard that one? No, Jesus is all about love. Oh, yeah? This is how he dealt with religious folks. How can you escape the what? The condemnation of hell. Wow. Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogue. Ouch! Who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these will receive what? Greater condemnation. Man, really? Yeah, really. Verse 41, we're coming in for a close. Ending just right on time. Praise God. So, in verse 41, now Jesus sat opposite the treasure, saw how the people put money into the treasure, and many who were rich put in much. They were flashing. These were folks that came in with rolling with Rolexes on. Dropping abundance in. Yeah, here. And they gave a scratch of what they really had. And he saw these poor little widows had nothing. But they gave it because they loved God. They gave all that they had because they loved God. Then, verse 42, then one poor widow came, threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrons. In contrast, a poor widow came with a freewill offering, that is, she was not paying a required tax, but rather giving a gift. But that gift is all that she had. You know what blesses my heart about the widows that gave these mites? They knew God was still going to refill their pocket. by faith because they gave it away. They weren't holding on to that little mite. No, it was like, God, no, wait. Okay, now I'll drop it in. God says, keep it. Those who are stingy, keep it. He'll find other means. Can I get an amen? Because we serve a mighty God. We serve a loving God. We serve a God that cares about his people. According to his riches and glory. So we close in this chapter. So he called his disciples to himself and said, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. And for they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Man, I'm telling you. God rejoiced over that moment. And he rejoices over the moments when we operate with a humble heart. A heart that shows him that we love him with all our heart, soul, and mind, and that we can love one another as we love ourselves. And when we get that, guess what? All the law is now written in our heart. It's not about the do's and don'ts. It's about having Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, ruling and reigning, for his word has now been written on our hearts by faith. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this marvelous book. We thank you, Lord, for chapter 12 as we conclude it. Lord, I'm just praying, God, that you would continue, Lord, to give us understanding of your word. And Lord, we just read, you are the true and living God. You love us beyond our human comprehension. You came to save us from ourselves. We were lost. We were wayward. A lot of our lives were torn and shattered and tattered. But you still came to save us. And Lord, thank you. And Lord, let us show with a grateful heart, a heart of gratitude, that we can love others like ourselves. And that it would not be a burden, but it would be a joy to love one another, to serve one another. And that paves the way for a right relationship with you. So God, thank you. Thank you for your word says, while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And I'm praying that someone that's listening to this message and maybe they've strayed away or maybe they never heard that there's hope for them in this life. I'm here to let you know that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again, that he shed his precious blood for you, you too can have this great and wonderful salvation, which he has come 2,000 years ago to do the most miraculous thing that mankind has ever seen. To die on a gruesome cross, to lay in a tomb for 3 days, dead as a doornail, and come back alive to rise from the dead, to bring you and I this great and wonderful salvation. So if you're listening to this message right now, I'm going to ask that you would cry out. It starts with repentance. Turn to God. Turn from the course you're headed right now. Make an about face and say, oh God, I'm tired of this life. I want a new life. I want that hope. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven when I die. Well, if that's you, pray this prayer by faith and allow God to be God in your life. Surrender everything now to Him. Watch God do the miraculous in your life like He's done in ours. And so pray this simple prayer. Remember, the prayer don't save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that will save you by faith. Pray it just like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Give them a shout of praise and glory in the house. Is Jesus worthy? Come on, is he worthy? Man, I'm so...
And maybe you just were surfing the net. You came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. And you're hearing this message right now. And you may not even know who Jesus is. I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.